and very thankful to be a part of this church family. So very thankful to be here. Now, when I was asked to give our message today, I thought about it, and the Lord brought some ideas to my mind, and I told Pastor Dan, sure, I'd be happy to do that, but I need you to know something first. I'm not going to do this all by myself. I need your help, and in a moment or two, we'll stop and ask the Holy Spirit to be present with us. But I have, I need seven readers, young, old, middle, in between. I need seven people to volunteer as a reader, and Steve will pass out the cards, if you don't mind, sweetie. Yeah, just raise your hand. If we do this real quickly, we will get out in time for lunch, and I know that's an important part of Sabbath as well as the message. So we have seven readers that I need to read today. And then when they read, sweetie, if you wouldn't mind taking a microphone to them as readers, that would be really, really helpful. Okay, going, going, gone. Oh, Marilyn said that she would take a card. Thank you. I just met Marilyn a few minutes ago. Thank you for helping. She's just jumping right in and participating in worship service today. So as well as those of you that will be reading along with me, we cannot begin our worship service in this part of the message without asking the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. So would you bow your heads with me? Father, we've come to the portion of worship that involves spoken word. And we're people of language and vocabulary, I'm guessing, because you created us that way. You yourself call yourself the Word, and unless your Spirit opens our hearts to this Word, we'll leave just the same as we came, and I don't think that's our intention today. We want to leave having encountered you and the power of your Word to recreate into us your plan and your design. So, here we are, Lord. With confidence and trusting in your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've just completed the season of giving and getting, haven't we? And many of us received new things, and today is a new day of a new year, so we're going to talk about new things. But before we get into the Word, I want to ask us about some of our favorite new things. Do you have a little quirky new thing that, yes, this is my favorite new thing? If I get a new thing, this is what it is. Okay, so while you're thinking, oh, okay, Gary, what's your favorite new thing? Your favorite new thing. Oh, that's her husband. Isn't that sweet? Oh, that's darling. Okay. Well, mine's not quite as romantic as that, Debbie, but I really, really like new socks. Anybody like new socks? You know that feeling you put that new sock right over your feet and they're so thick and squishy? You know, lots better than the ones that have been washed a gazillion times, right? Okay, so someone else, what's another new thing you really like? Okay, what's a new thing? A brand new electric mattress pad warmer. Okay, that's got to feel fantastic. Someone else, what's a new thing? What's a new thing? Oh, a new book. Yes, Marianne, I like that too. I like a new book, The Adventure of What's Behind Every Page. Okay, another new thing? A new KitchenAid mixer. That has got to be, like, it came out of the box and the whole thing, right? Right? Oh, that's great. Okay, what's a new thing you like? A Monopoly you build? Okay. Anybody out here? Yeah, smart. A new sewing machine. Oh, a new sewing machine. Now, is that a little tough to get used to, though? I mean, it's got new buttons and all that stuff, but you were in for it. You were up for it, right? So you're ready for it, that new thing. Okay, a new thing you love. Oh, yeah. Lori. New Converse shoes. Oh, those are best. What do you love that's new? A tomahawk. Okay, so does anybody love a new car? Yeah, what do we love about a new car? Isn't that right? It's the smell of the new car. We just love it. My daughter is here, and her favorite new thing is mascara. You know, it's just that feel on the eyelash, that new feel. What's a new thing you love? Go ahead. Yes. Oh, a new plate that said, I love you. Yes, being loved in a new way. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. What's a new thing you love, sweetie? A tomahawk too? Did you get 3 tomahawks in your family? Yeah. Good for you guys. Well, okay, I think we get the sense of what it is. So let's just stop then and ask ourselves, what is it about the new things that we love? It's the feeling it gives us, right? This feeling of something new, either on our bodies or our eyelashes or our hearts. This new sense of feeling from something new. And that is a great thing. But you know what? Sometimes we think about things in really strange ways. Because just as much as we love new things, sometimes we really are reluctant to let go of an old thing. Okay? You got that here? I'll give you an example. We won't have time to go through all of the old things that we're reluctant for, but I lived in Susanville with my husband for the last couple of years, and at the end of that time, he was here and I was there, and I had a lot of time to get acquainted with our neighbors, and the neighbor at one end of the road bought herself a brand new Honda. Now, I lived up a dirt bumpy road about a mile long, and in her yard sat her brand new Honda, and you know what was on top of it? A car cover. No, it was good. I mean, it was being protected. This new car was being protected, and it sat there for more than days, and it sat there for more than weeks. Brand new, all wrapped up in its car cover, and I said, Donna, aren't you going to drive your car? She goes, well, I just hate to get it dirty. Okay. She goes, I'm waiting to drive it. Okay. She goes, I gave my old car to my kids, and when my daughter picks up my old car, then I guess I'll have to drive the new one. Wow. I mean, reluctant to give up her old one to enjoy the new one, right? We've seen it in our children. They drag around behind them this icky, dirty, torn up blanket, but the thought of getting rid of it, not on your life, right? That favorite old blanket. In fact, some of us, even when they're finally done with it, wash it and package it up and save it. Yeah, to bring it out for what, I don't know, but so we have this quirkiness about us. We love new things, but we also have a real reluctance to get rid of some of the old things. Now, I was thinking about some of the old things that I might hold on to. Here's an old thing I hold on to. In some way, I think I'm deserving. And that's got to be all tied into my behavior. And if I'm deserving, then I'm kind of thinking more about me than I am thinking about you. And I hold on to that. I hold on to self-sufficiency, thinking that I can do it all myself. I don't need your help. It's okay, God. I got it under control now. We're okay. Thanks a bunch for the help and on my way. I hold on to pride. Wow, that is just a hard one to let go. You know, I kind of protect it and keep it and, you know, don't touch it. I also hold on to misconceptions about God. And that's a tough one because how do I even know I have a misconception? And yet once in a while, a whole new awareness about God comes my direction, and it looks right, and it's got to be right, and it matches up with Scripture, and yet my old way about thinking about God, just it fits like an old pair of jeans. It just has a little more comfortable feel to it. And if I really was to embrace a new idea about God's limitless love, I might have to change, and that's not so comfortable, is it? I hold on to the comforts of materialism. Silly, how ridiculous we must look to the angels when we settle for keeping our old attitudes about ourselves and others, when we could have a brand new mind and heart, the heart of Christ. Why do I settle for being trapped with my pet sins instead of being free and have a new mind and a new heart? Why do I allow selfishness to be covered over with just little miserly acts of generosity? Why is it only Christmas time I give and think of the poor and not all year long? Or why is listening to others, really seeking to understand them instead of being understood first, why do I hold on to those ways of thinking when all the while I have access to me a brand new heart and a brand new mind? Why do I keep the old ones? So I ask us this morning, what is new about the new year? My answer is that nothing is new about the new year unless you and I have a new heart. So God asks some questions, and he gives some answers, and he teaches us from his word. And now I need my seven helpers to begin to help me. So Steve, if you've got the microphone, someone has Ezekiel 18:31, and it says God's question on the paper, on the card. So read it good and loud and clear, and let's see what God's question is for us today.
Put all your rebellion behind you and find yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O people of Israel?
Why should we die? Let's read this passage. That was from the New Living Translation. Let's read it from the Message. Who has it from the Message? Same scripture says the Message. Okay, we've got it right there. Read it nice and loud, sweetie.
The upshot is this, Israel. I'll judge each of you according to the way you live. So turn around, turn your backs to on your rebellious living so that sin won't drag you down. Clean house, do no more rebellions. Please, get a new heart, get a new spirit. Why should you choose to die, Israel? I take no pleasure in anyone's death, decree of God, the Master. Make a clean break. Live.
And live. Thank you so much. So his question is, why would we choose to die? Why would we choose to hold on to these old things, these old attitudes, these sinful ways of thinking and being and selfishness? Why would we choose that when we could choose life? When we could choose a brand new heart and a brand new mind? And he says, just please, he's pleading with us this morning, please get a new heart. Please get a new heart. Well, okay, we'd sit here, okay. I haven't seen a heart shop down in the mall lately. I don't know, where do I get this new heart? And if I get it, am I going to like it? And is this good for me? Am I up for it like the new sewing machine? Am I ready for a change in my life? Am I ready for something really new? God answers his question. Because the consequence of holding on to the old stuff that we're reluctant to let go of, according to this verse, seems to indicate a loss, an eternal separation of being with God, death. I don't want that option today, and I don't want it for any of us today, or any of my neighbors, any of my friends, or anybody that lives in Healdsburg or on this planet. So let's see what Ezekiel 36:26, God's answer. What is his answer? What is his answer? Where do we get this new heart? If he's told us to get it, are all of his biddings his enablings? Let's see.
And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart.
Amen! Wow, what good news, you guys! The heart that he's pleading with us to please get a new one, he says, I got it right here, it's in my back pocket. Actually, it came from the cross. It came from the moment I sent Jesus onto this planet to be your Savior. This is where this new heart began, and the whole universe needed to see how this new heart was going to be lived out. So now they know you can have the mind of Christ. Now, here's an interesting thing in science, and some of you have maybe be familiar with this, but there is this new kind of scientific era called cellular memory. And when a patient experiences a vital organ transplant, the recipient of this donated organ, of this gifted organ, begins to take on an attribute or a characteristic of the donor. Here's an example. So much so, a gentleman received, I don't remember whether it was a kidney, I don't think this was a heart transplant in this case, but I think it was a kidney transplant. And after a period of time, he began to choose, just as natural, as matter of fact, as anything else, to eat his spaghetti in a completely different way than he had eaten it before. Now, it sounds silly and weird and odd, but it happened to have been the exact same way that the donor ate her spaghetti. Wow! So there is within the vital organs of the human system this memory, this cellular memory, and it remembers things. And it's not just in our brains. Our body is so interconnected with each other that there is this cellular memory within our most vital organs. And when heart transplants take place, someone who was never a smoker all of a sudden began to smoke because that was the donor's habit. And it was embedded in this memory, this cellular memory in the vital organ. Now let's but take a look at this. Now science is just helping us understand this about our bodies. But what could this mean radically to us if we accept Jesus' new heart that he promises to give us? How could this radically change my life, your life, if we accepted this mind of Christ that he promises to give us? Now here's the odd thing. If we were going to need a heart transplant or a kidney transplant, would we still want to keep the old one in there and just put the new one next to it? I don't think so, would we? I mean, the old one would get sick and it would make us sick and we wouldn't make much progress with the new one in place, would we? But have we ever kind of thought of our Christian experience with God that way? Yeah, I'll just kind of hold on to the old stuff that I am and kind of squeeze God in between the places and, you know, maybe it'll work out fine. I don't know about you, but I sometimes do that. And today, God's Spirit is calling us to let go of the old and embrace the new. So, wow. I want to be that. I do. I want to have his new heart and let my old one go. Let's read our next verse. Who has 2 Corinthians 5:17? Paul giving us this confidence that there is a place for total absorption of the new. Go ahead, sweetie.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here.
Amen! The old is gone, the new is here. Now, for some reason, I was thinking about that, and ring out the old and ring in the new. Are you familiar with that phrase? Well, I didn't know the history behind it, so maybe some of you are more educated, but thankfully the internet has great resources to find out what did that really come from. And it happens to be a poem written by Lord Alfred Tennyson in 1850. Now, if you would imagine with me, if we lived in that time era, we had no cell phones, and we had no landlines, and we had no internet. A lot of communication took place in cities and towns by the toll of the church bells. And the different ring meant different things to the people in the town. And some rings, gong, gong, could be very ominous and announce someone's death or passing in that village. And others, bing, 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 ring, 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 would be a joyful announcing, right? So let's imagine that as I read this piece from Lord Alfred Tennyson. Ring out, wild bells, to the wild sky, the flying cloud, the frosty light. The year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new. Ring, happy bells, across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, and ring in the true. Ring out the grief that saps the mind for those that here we see no more. Ring out the feud of rich and poor. Ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause and ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life with sweeter manners, purer laws. Ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out thy mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. But ring in the love of truth and right. Ring in the common love of good. Ring out old shapes of foul disease. Ring out the narrowing lust of gold. Ring out the thousand years of old. But ring in the thousand years of peace. Ring in the valiant man and free, the larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be. Wow. I think Lord Tennyson got it, didn't he? Our passage from Paul said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Wow. What great news we have to start a new year on a new day and a new Sabbath with a new heart. Now, some of us, we get really excited about that new car or the new sewing machine or the new mascara or the new socks. Can we begin to even be as thrilled with the new heart that God has for us? What would it take in our lives for us to want these new things God has for us that he's not only already prepared for us but is preparing? Let's take a look at what some of them are. Who has Revelation 2:17 this morning?
Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. I'll give the sacred manna to every conqueror. I'll also give a clear, smooth stone inscribed with your new name, your secret new name.
Okay, some of us may go, well, so what's a new name? Do I want a new name? Does it matter? A new name? Well, this is really a very small and inconsequential illustration, but it might help in some way. When I was growing up, my parents divorced and remarried, and so I had a lot of extra last names. And they kind of drug around with me, and they weren't exactly something I was happy or, hi, I'm Karen Hamilton Condi. That was just a little too much. And so when I met Steve and fell in love with Steve and our wedding day was approaching, I was excited about shedding those old names and what they meant and embracing my new name. I was excited about being a Mrs. Nicola. The family had so much, in so many ways, given me such a legacy to live up for. And I didn't know if I could, but I wanted it. I wanted that new name. I wanted to be Mrs. Karen Nicola. And how much greater would it be for us to look at our relationship with Christ as his bride and the new name that he gives to us and want that more than the old way that we have lived and been. Name is also synonymous with a character. And if Jesus is going to give us a new name, it's going to match this new character that he's also developing in us. Let's take a look at Revelation 3:12 and see what else new is going to happen. Sandy has it right over there, sweetie.
I'll make each conqueror a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, a permanent position of honor. Then I'll write names on you, the pillars, the name of my God, the name of God's city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, and my new name.
Okay, so we're hearing here that God is preparing to write these new things, not only in our hearts and our minds, but we actually get to experience a new city called the New Jerusalem. Now, a few years, many years ago, Disney built a new city in Florida. Is anybody familiar with the city that they built in Florida? Okay, it was a pretty amazing thing, and I don't know a lot about it, but I had a friend whose husband was contracted to put the new hospital in the new city, and she was describing to me all these new neighborhoods, brand new houses, and the network of new computers in all of these houses, and they're all networked to all the shops and the stores and the schools and the hospitals. And could you imagine moving into a new city like that? New landscaping, new buildings, new kitchens, brand new garages, new hospitals, new stores, new shops. Would that be phenomenal to move into a new city? Well, God is preparing the new Jerusalem for us, brand new. None of the old stuff. No broken down foundations, no mildew, no mold, a brand new city. Because I want you to live with me, because we're going to hang out together. But here's the thing that I had never noticed in this part of Revelation before. And Sandy, thank you for emphasizing it. At the end, he says, he's sharing all this with us, and he's also going to share with us his new name. God himself gets a new name. How cool is that? And some of us remember that as he showed himself through the people of Israel throughout the ages, a new name was given to God when new experiences took place. And God showed himself in new ways, and they called him by a new name. And won't the greatest of new experiences for the whole universe be is when sin and suffering finally come to its end? Won't we just joyously call out a new name to God? And he wants to share that with us? Wow, wow. So who has our last scripture, our seventh person this morning, reading from Revelation 21:3-5? Who would have that one? That's right. Thank you. Go right ahead.
The message. I heard a voice thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He's their God. He'll wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of things gone. The enthroned continued. Look, I'm making everything new. Write it all down. each word dependable and accurate.
Wow! Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this revelation of yourself and the future plan that you have for us. And today you and I can start this new year with a new heart, absolutely confident that what was written down in Revelation is accurate and dependable, that God will make all things new. So how do we think God's heart must be feeling? How must he be feeling? Just ourselves, a week ago, wrapped gifts we either made or bought to give to the people we love. We had anticipation about them opening them and enjoying them and receiving them. But how much more does God love us? How much more does he anticipate the joy of us receiving the new heart and the new mind he wants for us? How much more can he hardly wait to create a new heaven and a new earth for those he loves? I ask us this morning, why do we carry around our old stinky blankets and think we're content with that? I don't want a new one. It's okay, God. What will it take to transform our self-centered, selfish, materialistic, and cold hearts into this new one? We can't do this transforming of ourselves, but the Spirit can. At first, I wasn't real interested in new things, the new things God wants for me. But the more I think about it, the more I really want a new heart, one that responds to God's invitation to be more merciful and more loving to people around me, one that is filled with kind words to my spouse, one that gives understanding and to my children, to my siblings. I want a new heart that rejoices in the good of others. I want a heart that lives judgment-free. I want the mind of Christ, brand new, because the old one can't live beside the new one. But back to Christmas for a moment. Remember getting that brand new toy, the brand new dishwasher or sewing machine or whatever it might be. You maybe didn't want to let your sister play with it or share it with your brother. You know, if your brother took off the remote control and headed outside and crashed your new plane, that wasn't going to work so good. It was brand new. You hadn't even had a chance to crash it yet. Well, these are kind of self-centered and fear-filled ways of behaving. But God has given us an instruction manual for this new heart he wants us to take home today. And you'll find it at the bottom of your bulletin. Find your pink bulletin, and at the bottom of it, I want us to read out loud together as brothers and sisters, anticipating this new heart that we want to open to. How are we supposed to care for this new heart? Did it come with the care and instruction manual? And yes, it does. And this is what it reads together. Let's read. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. When we take the new heart God alone can give us, will we value it? Will we be mindful to protect it from the influences that are around us continually bombarding to smash our new heart and to send us back into our old ways? Will we be selective about what we expose our minds and hearts to? Will we protect our children's hearts? Do we really get it that everything we do comes from the core of our thoughts and feelings? What might be the way that you will guard this new heart Jesus is freely giving us today? Today is the first day of the year 2011. It is just a turn of a page on a calendar. Nothing's new about it unless you and I walk out as new people. If we begin this year just as we always have been, there is nothing about the new year that will assure any difference from the past. Our current state of sin addiction, requires something much more effective than a New Year's resolution. We need nothing less than to accept the new life Jesus wants to give us. When we begin each day of this coming year with our lives invaded by the new heart of God, we will be brand new people living each day as kingdoms of the citizen as citizens of the kingdom of love. Before we leave this place of worship, I know we need to talk to God about what His Spirit is asking us to do. If we leave prematurely, go right ahead, Dorley, and don't have a conversation with God about how He wants to give us this new heart, we will have left without His final grace in our lives. So I'm going to invite you to remain seated or kneel, whichever you prefer. And I want you and God to talk about this new life He has for you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we say yes, yes, yes to the gift of your new life, your new heart, your new mind. Each day we can wake up with new mercies. Each day of this new year will be the day that you have made. Thank you that you give us just one day at a time. And today, we can live with your new life in us. The old is gone. We open up our hands and we let it go. We drop it. And we turn them upward, Lord, to receive all of what it is to live as loving citizens of your kingdom. Thank you. We praise you. We worship you for your goodness and faithfulness to us, of which we are undeserving. Thank you. In the powerful, wonderful, and full authority of Jesus' name, we say thank you. And the congregation all said, Amen.